Lekutesiches Chelek Yud, Siche Noyach Gimel. This is a Rashi Siche, a very geschmacke Siche. It's going to discuss why Rashi does not address a specific issue, something that is a very fundamental detail in the story of Noyach and the Mabul. The discussion is going to be about the Ali Zayas, the olive leaf that the Yoina brought back to the Teva. Where did it come from? Where did this Ali Zayas come from? Seif Aleph, page 30. Medubur kama pa'amim shadarki shal Rashi bepirushi ala Teira in Levayar kol dover hakosha al derech hapshat bepirush haksuvim. It's been spoken numerous times that it is Rashi's style to address any issue that is difficult according to pshat. And if there's a question which Rashi does not answer, that is the evidence that the reason is self-understood to the extent that Rashi has no need to address it and to explain it. Or that the answer is understood based on something that Rashi addressed earlier that can be applied to here as well. V'hine, v'parsha seinu mesuper, sh'noyach yoda la'achar ha'mabul, ki kalu ha'mayim me'al ha'aretz. Our parsha tells us that Noyach knew that the water had become light, had become diminished from above the ground. By sending the yoina, the bird, the dove, from the teva, the yoina came back in evening time, and a leaf of an olive tree is caught in her mouth. And this is how yoina knew that the water was getting less and less, and soon he'll be able to leave the teva. Seemingly, this is not understood. It was told in the previous psukim, al dvar mabul, with regards to the mabul, that the well springs of the underground were broken open, and the windows of the heavens were opened, and it rained upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And then the water raged al ha'aretz, on the earth, 150 days. And because of this, that all the flesh, all the living beings, whether it was the birds, the animals, the livestock, died. And all of the existence was obliterated. Asher al pnei adama, that was on the earth. It was obliterated from the earth. So based on these psukim, shalachre mabul kaze, after such a mabul, bevaday leinisher shum ilo neyesef bitziyure, no tree or no grass remained in its original form. V'imkein me'ayin lakcha yeina es alei hazayis. So therefore, the question very simply is, where did the yeina get this leaf from? The trees were destroyed, and the animals were destroyed, and everything that existed must have been destroyed after this incredible rain and flood. Where did the leaf come from? And this question is addressed by many mefarshim. The Ramban and others, of course, we are asking according to Pshutei Shel Mikra. And Rashi says nothing. And we do not find in Rashi any explanation to address this. V'hine. The Medrash mevi baze beis deis. Medrash Rabba brings two opinions about where the olive leaf came from. Aleph. Sheheviya ha'ola mishafshushin oy mehara mishcha sheberes Yisrael, that she brought, the bird brought this leaf from shoots, from things that were growing in Eretz Yisrael, or more specifically from Har HaMishcha in Eretz Yisrael. This is two different versions within the Bereishis Rabba. Ki be'eretz Yisrael le'yarod ha'mabul. According to this opinion in the Medrash Rabba, the Mabul did not fall in Eretz Yisrael. K'mei shekasov, the Medrash brings a pasuk, Eretz le'metu harahi, ve'le'gushma b'yayim zaham, a land that is uncleansed, that was not rained upon on a day of anger, and says this, v'loy gushma b'yayim zaham, refers to the Mabul, that during the time of Zaham, of anger of Hashem, that brought the Mabul, loy gushma, Eretz Yisrael was not rained upon. So that's one opinion, that the leaf came from Eretz Yisrael. Beis, the Medrash Rabba brings another opinion. Sheniftechu l'shari Gan Eden, ve'vias alam yisham. The gates of Gan Eden were opened for the bird and for the dove, and she brought the leaf from there. But we're going to say right away that both of these pirushim are not going to be consistent with Pshutei Shel Mikra. Aval ein leimar sheshitas Rashi Pshutei Shel Mikra ke'echad mibeis deyes elu. We cannot say right away the Rebbe addresses this, saying this can't be the shita of Rashi, which is Pshutei Shel Mikra. Ki aleph, number one, havali l'Rashi l'farsham. A pshat like this, Rashi should have explained. Rashi was telling us that Rashi was of the opinion that Alpi Pshutei Shel Mikra, the leaf came from Eretz Yisrael, then Rashi should have said so. Or for the same matter from Gan Eden. Beis, the second reason why this can't be Rashi's approach, Pirushim Elu Einam Al Derech HaPshat, these Pirushim do not follow Pshat. They might be Medrash, but they don't follow Pshat, they don't follow the basic understanding of the Psukim. And he's going to explain. He's going to start with the second pshat about Gan Eden, and then go to the first pshat about Eretz Yisrael. Hapirushe v'yasi migan Eden. Hine av shegam al derech hapshat muvan shele yorad mabul b'Gan Eden. Even if we'll say that even according to pshat, it's clear that the mabul didn't fall in Gan Eden. Shari sibas a mabul hoysoki rabba ra'as ha'odom ba'oretz. The reason the mabul came was because the person was increasingly bad on the earth. And the inclination of his thoughts, of the person's thoughts, of the human being's thoughts, is negative all day. And then what happened after that is, the earth, the world was destroyed, meaning to say the conduct of the people was destructive. And the world was filled with robbery, which, as Rashi brings, doesn't just mean financial robbery, also means infidelity and inappropriate relationships. So the world was, the people of the world were behaving inappropriately. And in Gan Eden, this is not possible. Gan Eden was a place of holiness. So there was clearly no misconduct in Gan Eden. So clearly there was no mabul in Gan Eden, but mikolmakim, nevertheless, even if you're going to tell me that there's no mabul in Gan Eden, it still doesn't help us with the second part of what happened here. How is it possible that the Yoina entered into Gan Eden and brought from there a olive leaf? Because of the pasuk says clearly, the Abish they're made to rest in the front of Gan Eden, and right outside Gan Eden, the Kruvim, and the flame or the blade of a sword that was turning over, that was both sides were sharp, lishmoir, to protect, to watch over the Gan Eden, haknisa leGan Eden, the entrance to Gan Eden, v'yevser likonis lisham, so it's impossible to get in. So how did the bird get into Gan Eden? V'yoyd v'ikir. And the third point, or the second point within this prat of Gan Eden, kavonas Noach hoisa lireis hakalu hamayim yalpnei adama. The whole intent of Noach was to see if the water lightened up on the land, on the place where the mabul was. Umaro al yedeze shevi ol ezayis me Gan Eden. What can Noach gain by the bird bringing him a leaf from Gan Eden? Haresham lehaya mabul meikara. There was no mabul there in the first place. So, number one, Rashi says nothing about this. That's a problem. Number two, even if you follow the pshat, so even if we're to accept that the mabul didn't fall in Gan Eden because there was no bad people in Gan Eden, nevertheless, number one, how does the bird get into Gan Eden? Number two, Number two, what does Noach learn by the leaves sprouting in Gan Eden? If there was no Mabul there, how does that tell him what's going on in the places where the Mabul was? Mitamze, and this same reasoning, Efser Loimar, Gam Kipirush Abeis. Kipirush Abeis means the other Pirush, which was brought actually as an Aleph from the Medrash, the fact that the Mabul fell in Eretz Yisrael. The same reasoning also negates, according to Pshutei Shel Mikra, the reasoning that the Mabul fell, didn't fall in Eretz Yisrael. Maraya shekalu amayim me'ala oretz, al yedeze sheviya lezayis me'eretz Yisrael sheleyored ba'a Mabul. What proof, what evidence does Noach have from the fact that there's a leaf coming from Eretz Yisrael if no Mabul came in Eretz Yisrael? So how does that teach him anything with regards to the places where the Mabul did fall? And even according to the Deya that the Mabul did not fall in Eretz Yisrael, certainly some of the waters that fell in the neighboring lands flowed into Eretz Yisrael. So maybe one would think that there still is a lesson that the water is lightening up, because some water did get into Eretz Yisrael. It's nevertheless, it's not a good answer, because it's understood, a place that did not have the Mabul falling, and also not the opening of the underground well springs, didn't have that much of the strong waters, and not the raging waters or the strength of the waters. And therefore the waters did not penetrate deeply into the depths of the ground. And certainly over there, the water would lighten up, would become less and easier before all the other places. So based on this, Noach would know that the water lightened up in Eretz Yisrael. How would he know that the water lightened up in the rest of the world? So, clearly, the Medrash that says that Eretz Yisrael, that the water didn't fall in Eretz Yisrael, that the Mabul didn't come in Eretz Yisrael, and that the leaf came from Eretz Yisrael, or the Medrash that says that the leaf came from Gan Eden, does not go well with Pshutei Shel Mikra, because for the main reason that if the Mabul didn't fall there, then how would that give Noach the information that the water would have lightened up in the places where the Mabul did fall? Now, in Oyez Gimel, he's going to say, before he goes back to the question and answer the original question, where did the Ali Zayis come from? He's going to address this opinion that the Mabul didn't fall in Eretz Yisrael, and he's going to say that this opinion is not consistent with Pshutei Shel Mikra. In other words, besides the fact that even if the Mabul didn't fall in Eretz Yisrael, it still wouldn't help us to understand where the Alei Zayis came from, because Noach needs a raya that kalu amayim me'ala oretz and from Eretz Yisrael, there's no raya. Besides for that, the Rebbe in Oyez Gimel is going to address this idea that the Mabul didn't fall in Eretz Yisrael, and he's going to say that is inconsistent with Pshutei Shel Mikra. That's Oyez Gimel. Noisif al zeh, in addition to this, according to Pshutei Shel Mikra, we must say Asher Yorad HaMabul Beretz Yisrael, that the Mabul did fall in Eretz Yisrael. Ubahaktim, and let us first preface as follows. The Medrash may be Beis Deis, Mepirush HaKosov, Chamesh Esrei Abba Milamayla Govru HaMayim Vayechusu HaHorim. The Medrash is going to bring two opinions how to interpret the Pasuk, where it says, this is Pasuk Chof, in Perek Zayin, that the water went 15 Amma above, and the mountains were covered. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Chamesh Esrei Amma Bahar, V'Chamesh Esrei Amma Bebika, which means, literally it means there's 15 Ammas on the mountain, 15 Ammas in the valley, What Rabbi Yehuda is saying is that whatever the ground level was, the water was 50 namas above it. So if there was a mountain, the water was 50 namas above the mountain. If there was flat ground, the water was 50 namas above the ground. If there was a valley, the water was 50 namas above the valley, which would imply that this was a miracle. Because generally speaking, if you have some water here, the water from the higher place will flow to the lower place and the water will become leveled. If some parts the water was higher and some parts the water was lower, this is clearly miraculous. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Reb Nechemya argues and says, Tesvav Ama Bahar, that on top of the mountain there was 15 amas, Aval Bebika Kol Shehen, in a valley it was just whatever it was, Lifi Oime Kabika Hein Rav Hein Ma'at, based on the depth of the valley, that's how much water there was. And what Reb Nechemya is saying is that it didn't matter how deep the valley was, the water always was leveled with 15 amas above the highest mountain. Rashi, b'pirushi ala posik. Rashi, in his pirush, mefarei says, chamesh esrei ama milamayla, 15 amas above. Lamaylo shall call goiva golaharim, above the height of all of the mountains, la'achar shehishvu amayim l'rashi harim, after the water was leveled out to the height of the mountains. In other words, first the water leveled to the height of the mountains, and then another 15 amis above all the mountains. And this is Kedas Reb Nechemya. So Rashi takes the opinion of Reb Nechemya. Also, the Gemara in Yuma also takes this opinion of Reb Nechemya. Over there, the Gemara asks the question. V'chimayah, it's not in the Sicha. This is what the Gemara says. V'chimayah shuri kaimi. Could water be at different levels? And later in the Ara 20, the Rebbe is going to say, even by Kriyas Yamsuf, there was a ruach kodim azza kol alayla. There was an eastern wind, a strong eastern wind that was holding up the water. But to say that water was on different levels doesn't make sense. V'oid teva echisagya. The Gemara over there asks another question: how did the teva travel? If the water is up here and then it's passing a mountain, it's going to flip over. So therefore, the Gemara over there says, "Nifku kol minus tehem rabba ad asfu maya bahadi turi," till the water was all equal with the mountains. V'hadar chamesh esrei milmayla gavru amayin. This is from the Gemara in Yuma. So the Gemara in Yuma is also another source for Rashi following the shita of Rav Nechemya, that chamesh esrei milmayla amo milmayla means 15 amis above the highest mountain, and that the water was on an equal level. Now, Vatamalza, the reason that Rashi follows this opinion is for 3 points. Aleph, kishein hechlich leimar sh'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu nes, when there's no necessity to say that the Eibishter made a miracle, harei zehepech pastus haksuvim leimar sh'aya nes ve'li me'akasav. It's the opposite of Pesutei Shel Mikra to say that there was a nes which the pasuk ignores or doesn't mention. Uben nidin didan. In our case, the dasan of Yehuda hayakan nes gadol shel yardu amayim migavaya lenamuch mehar lebika. According to Yehuda, there's a huge miracle here that the water didn't flow down from the higher level to the lower level. Uben meshech zman rabim, for a time period of a great amount of time, of 40 days plus 150 days. Hepech ha-teva le-gamri, which is totally unnatural. V'noisif al-zer is a nesos le-le-tzerich le-chura. Besides the fact that the Pasuk doesn't say anything in its hepech pesuk shel mikra for us to say, unless there's a hechrech to do so. That there was a nes that the Pasuk doesn't tell us. It's a nesos le-le-tzerich. What's the purpose of the miracle? What is gained by the water being in different levels? Beis. Another reason why Rashi goes with the Shita of Rav Nechemya, Pashtus Lashon HaKosov, Chamesh Esri Ama Milamaila. Masma Lamaila the Gave a Kalaharim. It doesn't say Chamesh Esri Ama Milamaila or Chamesh Esri Ama. I guess I don't know what it could have said, but the fact that it does say Chamesh Esri Amas Milamaila, that it was 50 Amas above, and then Vayechusu Haharim and the mountains were covered, implies that it was above everything. That it was 15 Amas above everything, above all of the mountains. And then we have a third point, Mitzatoichen Inyan, from the storyline, that is going to clearly imply that the water was 15 Amas above the mountains. Above all the water was 15 Amas above the mountains, even the areas where there were no mountains. And he has a very beautiful theory here. L'das Lev Nachman, Lev Nechemya, Muva Lama Nacha Teva Al Hari Arara Dafka. According to Rav Nechemya, it makes a lot of sense that the Teva rested on Hari Ararat. Av Shal Yedeza Niteisva Tircha Yaseira Laneach Yiridim in Ahar V'chulu, even though this caused an extra hardship to Noach, that he had to go down from the mountain back down to the plain land. But it still makes sense. Mikivon Shehayu Me'aharim Achi Gvoyim, since it was one of the highest mountains, when the water began to go down, the first place that you see land is the dry land or land is the highest land elevation. So you and therefore this was the first place that the teva could rest, was on the top of Hari Ararat. And that's where the teva stopped. Because if you have the whole world covered in water and it starts going down slowly, then wherever there is a high mountain, that'll be the first place where you'll see dry land. And therefore, Noach could park the teva over there. Avolim b'chol makim haya goyva amayim b'shava. Tesvav ama milamayla. But if in every single place the water was the same high, higher than the land elevation, and now the water began to go down. So everywhere is going down equally. So just like Hari Ararat appeared out of the water, also dry land would also appear out. Plain land would also appear out of the water because everywhere was going down at the same time in an equal amount, and the water was never level to begin with. So this went down 15 amas till the mountain. This went down 15 amas till the dry land. In that case, lama nacha ateva davke bahari ararat. Why did the teva stop, rest in Hari Ararat? He could have stopped anywhere. Because after 15 amas going down, all the land began to appear. Lachin pirush Rashi, kedas Rav Nechemya. This is why Rashi teaches like Rav Nechemya, because according to Rav Nechemya, the fact that the Teva parked on Hari Ararat makes much more sense. So now that we have this whole preface about understanding what Chamesh Esri Amas Milamayla means, and the third Nekuda was that because the Teva rested on Hari Ararat is a proof that the water was Chamesh Esrei Ama Milamayla, of higher than the highest mountain, equal everywhere. We can now apply the same reasoning to the question of whether the water fell in Eretz Yisrael. If we would say that the Mabul didn't fall in Eretz Yisrael, even if some water flowed in from the other nations, or other lands surrounding Eretz Yisrael, obviously the water would have lightened up there more earlier than in the other parts of the world. Kenal v'im kein la manacha teva b'hari ararat davke v'le lifnei ze b'eretz Yisrael. Why did the Teva park in Hari Ararat and not in Eretz Yisrael, and it could have parked even earlier in Eretz Yisrael? From the fact that the Teva did not park in Eretz Yisrael and it parked Dafke Behari Ararat. From this we understand that it must be that also in Eretz Yisrael, Al Pi Psutei Shel Mikra, there was a Mabul, and this is in disagreement with the Medrash, or the Psutei Shel Mikra is inconsistent with the Medrash that says that the Eretz Yisrael Le'yarad Mabul. It's actually interesting, he brings in the Ara 23, that pasuk in Yecheskel, that the Medrash brings, the Loi Gushma B'yem Zam, which the Medrash explained to mean that there was no rain in time of the Mabul. Rashi over there says, Loi Is Avidu Ba'uv Din Tavim, no good deeds were done there. Rashi does not teach that there was no Mabul there, which makes sense now, because according to Pesut Yisrael Mikra, there was a Mabul there. So that makes more gishmak, the way Rashi teaches the Pasuk in Yecheskel, that Lo Yisavidu Ba'uv Din Tavin, that it means that good deeds weren't done there. So now we're back to our original question. Since the Alei Zayis did not come from Gan Eden, the Alei Zayis certainly didn't come from Eretz Yisrael, because according to Pesut Yisrael Mikra, there was a Mabul in Eretz Yisrael like everywhere else. So, we are back to our original question, where did the Yoina get an Alei Zayis from to bring to Noach? And in Ois Dalid, we're going to ask a number of additional questions that will bring us ultimately to the answer of our initial question. Ayiz Dalet. The Yuvan Behaktim Eid Dvarim Bilti Muvanim will understand this by first introducing another few details that are not understood, Bepidush HaPosuk Shel Kasuv Zeh, in the simple understanding of this posuk. Aleph. Mevur Bekasuv. Pasuk tells us that by the Yoina bringing the leaf, Noach knew that the water was lightening up on the earth. What does it mean, kalu hamayim? Not just that the water was getting less and less, because this had already occurred some time before. Noach knew that the water was getting less because the Teva had already rested on Hari Ararat. Plus, the very fact that he was sending out a Yoina means that he knew that it wasn't what it initially was. The pasuk says very clearly that the water was drying out on the earth before Yoina sent out the bird. Before Noach sent out the bird, Yoina is the bird. So what does it mean? Kalu amayim, gam kalu samayim ad kedekach. The water, the earth, was soaked with water. So, whether the water was totally down, or the earth was still soaked up with water, it was still impossible for Noach to get out of the Teva and rest or live on the actual earth. So he needed to know, hakalu hamayim, is the water diminished enough that we could actually go back out and rest and live on the dry land? V'lecha'era. Ma'ya echacha al-zeh al-yedei al-shal zayis. So now that I'm trying to figure out not whether the water is going down, because I know that already, I'm trying to figure out if the water went down enough that it's possible to leave the Teva. What proof does he have from a leaf? Maybe this leaf was taken from a tree on a very high on a very high mountain. Especially since the Teva itself was already on a high mountain. And from the top of the tree. And at this height, there's already a lot of water. At this height, there's already a lot of time that there was no water. So there could have been a leaf over there, but how does the leaf that's on the top of a tree, that's on the top of a mountain, tell Noach what's going on the ground? Base. Second question. Lama hevia ole shel zayis dafke. Why was it an olive leaf? The leishel lanache, not any other tree. Ubefrach medayik akosuv lemer le'ole stam ale zayis. The pasuk insists on telling us that it was the leaf of an olive tree. Manafke mina eze ole hevia. Why is it relevant what leaf, what type of leaf the bird brought? So these are our two questions. Number one, if Noach wants to know what's going on the earth, on the ground, how does a leaf help Noach to know what's happening on the ground? Number two, why is it relevant that it was an olive leaf? Vabir bazeh. So let's explain the answer to these two questions. What did Noach find out from the leaf? And why was it an olive leaf? In numerous places in Chazal, it's explained that the olive tree is a very strong tree. One of the examples is in Tesefta, in Bab Metzia. Over there it's talking about a lost object. What a person is allowed to do when he finds an object, an aveda, before he returns it, before he finds the owner. So there's certain things that you're allowed to do, certain things you're supposed to do to make sure it's in use. So it's talking about kardumais, about axes. And it says that you're allowed to chop a tree with it, but he shouldn't chop a tznoin or a zayas. A tznoin is, I would imagine, a radish, which I don't know how that fits in. But a zayas is an olive tree. So the Tesefta says that you're not allowed to use a found axe to chop an olive tree because the olive trees are so strong that it could damage the axe. So this is one example where you see in Halacha that an olive tree is a very strong tree. And this would fit in also according to Pshat. Because in a matter of fact, of reality, we're not going to differentiate between halacha and pshat. It either is or isn't. So if we're saying that in reality the tree, the zayis tree is a strong tree, then this is consistent with pshat as well. Ukashat Talmud ben chamish lemikra yira zayis. Additionally, if a child, a ben chamish lemikra, a student is going to see an olive tree, take if yavchin shechazaku. Right away, you look at a tree, you see that it's a very powerful tree, a strong tree. V'lochin makim lemar. So based on this, one can say that even though the marble was very strong, we explained before that there was nivku minus tem rava, and it was 40 days and 40 nights. So we explained before how strong and powerful the marble was. Nevertheless, being that the zayis tree is a strong tree, from all of the olive trees in the world, we must say that nishru akol ponim achad meyem, that some of them must have remained. In other words, the zayis tree is strong enough that even through everything the marble was, some, at least some of the zayis trees would survive the marble. He brings in the order 31 that it says later in the parashas Noach, it says that Noach vayita karem, that Noach planted a vineyard. So Rashi says, how did he have things to plant a vineyard from? He brought in, Rashi says, hichnis imay zmeirais v'yuchurei te'enim. He brought young vine branches and young date branches into, or fig branches, Tamar is a date and Teina is a fig. So Teina is fig branches. into the teva with him. Why didn't he bring olive branches with him into the teva? Because he knew the olive branches would survive. So now we understand that which we're saying now over here, that we are certain that the Zayas trees survived, we now understand that Noach had no need to bring olive branches with him into the teva. Omnam. So although we have established that the Zayas trees are so strong that we were sure, confident, that they would, at least some of them would survive the Mabul, Lidach Gisa, on the other hand, it's very hard to say that the leaves of the Zayas tree, even though they too are very strong, the Gemara in Gittin, the Tosfos in Gittin, talks about using it for a get. So there it says that it's very strong. It'll last for a very long time. But nevertheless, to think that they survived as they are, to look like a leaf through the whole Mabul, Achar, Komeshach, Zman HaMabul, V'shehoya Ba'efen, Deva'yigbru HaMayim, V'ha'olim Oyu Mechusim, U'shruyim B'mayim, the leaves were covered and soaked in water, Kama V'kama Chadashim Netzufim, for a numerous consecutive months. So to say that the leaves survived, that we can't say. So the trees survived, yes. The leaves not. Therefore, we must say, so therefore, we must say that the leaf that the Yoina brought was a new leaf that grew after the Mabul. And enough time had passed. Enough time passed since the tree itself wasn't covered in water. And it started to sprout until the leaves grew. And that's what the Yoina brought. So if enough time passed that the tree could begin to sprout its own new fresh leaves, this was enough time for Noach to understand that the water was just about ready, the earth was just about ready for them to go out onto. So this is the answer to the question, how did Noach know from the fact that he brought an Alei Zayas? This is the answer to the question, how did Noach know from the leaf that the earth was ready? Because since it was a fresh leaf that grew after the Mabul, it must, and enough time must have passed for a leaf to grow. Clearly, enough time has passed to know that Kalu Hamayim Al Oretz. We'll move on. Gamkein Diu Kakosuv Alei Zayis. And this is why the pasuk emphasizes or stresses the fact that it was an olive tree leaf. Because this answers our initial question in the beginning of the sicha: where did the yoina get the leaf from? Since the tree is very strong, therefore it survived the mabul, and therefore right away it began to grow. And that's how, even though it wasn't in Eretz Yisrael and it wasn't in Gan Eden, it was just in the regular place, and nevertheless, he was able to get a leaf because it grew on a tree that survived the mabul. And according to this, it's also answered, Gamkein, how do yesh lahakshis? Eich yoda neach al yedei ol azayi shakalu hamayim, v'ari esher shemetzos al pnei hamayim. How did Noach know from a leaf that it was growing on a tree, and because of that he could learn kalu hamayim? Maybe he just found a leaf, the yoina found a leaf floating on the water. V'al pi anal, shahoya ol shetzomach achar hamabu. But according to the above, that this is a leaf that grew after the Mabul, had a posture shehaker gadol yesh bin ola shashori v'kavus b'mayim karev l'shana la ola shetzomach michadash. It's clear, it's very obvious that you could tell the difference between a leaf that was sitting underwater, soaking in water for almost a year, to a leaf that just grew. So when Noach saw the leaf, he knew that it had just grown. How do we know that? Because it was an Ali Zayas, and a Zayas could survive the Mabul. And therefore Noach knew that it was a fresh leaf. And because Noach knew it was a fresh leaf, he knew that Kalu Amai Me'al Oretz. And this answers, answered all of our questions. And our last two questions were, how did Noach know from the fact that it was on top of a tree that the earth is ready? And the answer is because the leaf had just grown. The other question is, why does the Pasuk say Alei Zayis? Because he wants to tell us where Noach got the leaf from. Where the Yoyna got the leaf from. He got the leaf from the Zayis tree, which could survive a Mabul. And this also answers our question from the beginning of the Sicha. Where did the Yoyna get the leaf from? He got it from a Zayis tree. And the Zayis tree survived the Mabul. And as soon as the water started going down, it began to sprout new leaves. To strengthen this point, we're going to go into Eis Hay. We're going to learn another Rashi. If you remember right in the beginning of the Sicha, he said that sometimes either Rashi thinks it doesn't need to be explained, or Rashi is relying on something else that was explained. So in Eis Hay, he is going to teach us from the Rashi on the words Vehine Alei Zayis Taraf Befia, a proof to this understanding that the Yoyna took the leaf that had just grown from the Zayis tree. And to make this even stronger, more gishmak, even a child, he'll see an Ali Zayis, an olive leaf, and he'll understand how strong it is. It is the way of Rashi, usually, to explain everything very clearly. Rashi should have said something that Ilan Zayis is very strong, as we just explained at length. Rashi ignores the whole thing. He doesn't mention the Ilan Zayis is chazak, and he doesn't mention that the leaf was a new leaf. He doesn't say anything. He just ignores it. Why? And how are we supposed to know all this? According to Rashi, it's very clear in the Pasuk that this was a fresh leaf and that it came from the Zayis tree. Where the Pasuk says, V'hine alei Zayis taraf b'fia. Pirush Rashi, taraf, chataf. He grabbed it. That the bird grabbed. The word taraf usually is like a word treifa, which usually refers to the animals in the wild that are toiref, that attack other animals. So it's a very unusual word to use the word taraf. And all the, many mefarshei achumish address, in Ardah 36, he brings from the Re'eim, he brings from Targum Unculus, he brings from Balei HaTosfos, there's many mefarshim that discuss the word taraf, what it means and why it was used. Rashi teaches the word chataf, just like an animal attacks another animal, grabs him. So too here, the bird, the yoyna, grabbed the leaf off the tree. Ein Rashi mefarish tevas taraf b'efen acher. Rashi doesn't teach it in any other way, as many of the other mefarshim do. Lefi shapirus zeh masim yisal derech apshat. Because this pirus, the pirus chataf, that he grabbed the leaf, that is the most consistent with the way of pshat. Hainu shakosuv madgish shechotfa ha'olam min ha'ilon. The pasuk is emphasizing that she had to grab the leaf from the tree. The lechera av leleimar v'hinei alei zayis b'fia. Pasuk could have said, we saw Noach, and Noach saw the Yoyna, and behold, there is an olive leaf in her mouth. Why does he have to say Taraif Befia? Ve'abir, Aleph ha'ole nilkech mimakim gidulei, lo'isha yatzaf al pnei amayim v'kayetze b'zeh. Number one, the leaf was taken from, it was plucked from where it grew, not picked up, floating on the water. Beis lekichas alei zayis me'ilan shalai, taking a leaf from an olive tree, Nikras chataf is called grabbing. Ki ayidei chatifa davka b'chayzik. Because it's only by grabbing it very strongly that you can grab, get the leaf. Ki ilon chazaku, because a zayis is a strong ilon. So according to Pshutei Shel Mikra, that the Elon was an Elon Zayas, which is an Elon Chazak. And the Yaina took a leaf that just grew. That's why Rashi says, Toroif, Chataf, Toroif, Chataf, that he grabbed it, because it was an Elon Zayas, and it was a fresh leaf that was being plucked from the place that it grew. And based on that, now that Rashi teaches Torah Chotaf, now I know that it was a strong, that the Ilan Zayis is strong, and that it was a new leaf. And therefore, when it comes to the Pasuk over here, that Yeda Neach Kikalo Amai Me'al Oretz, Rashi has no reason to explain anything, because everything is self-understood based on the Rashi Torah Chotaf. Beautiful. So now everything is answered. However, we're going to go into one more nekuda that's not directly related to this detail of the story, but it is somewhat related based on what we said earlier. Now, Eizvavi starts with Alpi Hanal. I wasn't 100% sure what the Alpi Hanal, which Hanal is referring to, but Lecha'era, he's referring mostly to the discussion we had earlier about whether the Mabul was in Eretz Yisrael. And the idea that a Nes does not occur, that the Pasuk, it's Hepech Pastos HaKsuvim, it's inconsistent with Pshutei Shel Mikra, that there should be a Nes that the Pasuk doesn't talk about. And based on that, we can understand another Rashi in this parsha. Alpi Hanal, based on what we learned earlier, that it's hepech pashtos haksuvim, it's inconsistent with Pshutei Shel Mikra, that unless there's a hechrech, unless there's a need, to say, a necessity, to say that a nes occurred and the pasuk doesn't mention it. Based on this, Yumtuk Eidin Yumpirish Rashi, there's another element, another detail in Rashi that will be understood in a more gishmaka way. Al Pasuk Vayasheku Hamoyim, on the Pasuk a little bit earlier, the beginning of this Pedek, yeah? Pasuk Aleph, the end of Pasuk Aleph in Pedek Ches, Vayasheku Hamoyim, Pirish Rashi, Kimoi, Kishoich Chamas Hamelech. The words Vayasheku, which means the water is calmed, it comes from the same words, it's in the same Shoidish, as in the Megillah, where it says, Kishoich Hamas HaMelech, that the anger of the king was calmed. And Rashi explains, Lashon Anachas Cheba, the Lashon of calming or abating anger. Pisha Mefarshim, the Mefarshim explain, Shemekeirei Shal Rashi Umei Amavur Bizvachim. Rashi's makar comes from the Gemara in Zvachim. The Gemara in Zvachim is actually discussing whether the Mabul took place in Eretz Yisrael. And it's a machloikis between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yechonon. Over there, Rish Lakish brings a pasuk. It says, Mikoyel asher b'charav ha-mesu. And they're asking, where are the dead people? The dead people from Nebuchadnezzar, where the dead people from Eretz Yisrael. So Rish Lakish says to Rabbi Yechonon, it says, Mikoyel asher b'charav ha-mesu, that everything died. According to you, says Rish Lakish to Rabbi Yechonon, that there was no Mabul in Eretz Yisrael. Amai mesu, why did they die? Why couldn't they survive in Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara answers, Mishum havla. They didn't die from drowning. They died from the heat of the water. Kidder of Chizda. The Omar of Chizda, said, Bereischin kilkilu. They sinned with warmth, which is referring to the Tivus. When the Yetzirah is heated up to fulfill a taiva, so they sinned with heat. And therefore they were punished with heat. And the Gemara brings a raya, because here by the Mabul it says, and it says in the Megillah, so we see that Hamas, the Shachacha, goes with Hamas, with heat. And therefore is a raya that means that the heat of the water lessened. That's what the Gemara says in Zvachim. Say the Mefarshim, that this is what Rashi is talking about. That the Gemara in Zvachim is saying that Vayashoku Amayim teaches us that the heat of the water calmed down. And that's what Rashi is saying over here, Vayashoku Lashim Kamei Kesheikh Masamelech. We'll say it inside. It's interesting that the Rebbe in the Sicha quotes a girsa in Rashi that is consistent with the Gemara. And punkt the Chumash I have over here, which is obviously not a raya to anything, but punkt actually has Kishay Chamas HaMelech and not V'Chamas HaMelech Shechacha. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I made a mistake. Rashi says Kishay Chamas HaMelech. The Gemara says V'Chamas HaMelech Shechacha. So a separate question that could be asked is why Rashi quotes a different pasuk than the Gemara in Zvachim. Aval, im kavonas Rashi kanal, if Rashi's kavona was to follow the Gemara in Zvachim, that the water was hot, and vayashoku amoyim means that the water cooled down, eni muvan ashinuyim, then there are differences between Rashi and the Gemara that are not understood to us. Aleph, be Gemara mefarish amayim oyoreschim. The Gemara says clearly that the water was hot. Rashi doesn't mention the fact that the water was hot. Seemingly, that's the main point here. Rashi doesn't mention it. If the Gemara has to say, bring a raya that Vayasheku means that the water was hot, the Gemara is not Pshutus Mikra. If the Gemara feels the need to explain it, for sure Rashi should have explained it. Beis, Rashi Moisef Lashna Hanachas Chema. Rashi adds the words Hanachas Chema, which means the abating or the calming of the anger, which is something that the Gemara didn't mention. In the Raya, he brings the pasuk in the Bachamas Melech Shechacha. But in the description of what happened by the Mabul, there's no mention of anger. And Rashi says Hanachas Chema. Umizemuvan, Shekavonas Rashi Eina Shamayim Oyereschim. Therefore, we understand that Rashi's makir is not Zvachim. And Rashi is not indicating that the water was hot. Vayasheku means the calming and the quieting of the anger. V'loy reticha, not heat. That it slowed down or calmed down the surging of the waters. And according to Rashi, the water was not boiling. It was regular water. Okay. So, another Rashi was brought in by Yasheku Amoyim. There are Mefarshi Rashi that want to say that based on this Rashi, Rashi is referencing the Gemara in Zvachim, and because of that, it means that the water was hot. And according to that, we have two questions. Number one, why does Rashi not mention that the water was hot? Number two, why does Rashi add the words Hanachas Chema, and which the Gemara doesn't have, and therefore Rashi is not basing his pshat on the Gemara in Zvachim, and Rashi does not hold that al pipshutei shel mikra the water was hot. And what he means to say is Vayasheku Amoyim, that the surging, the strength of the water was calmed down, the anger of the water, the fury of the water rather, calmed down, and that's what it means Vayasheku Amoyim. How do we get to this? Besides the fact that these questions are real questions, There's another nekuda which we learned earlier in the Sikha that helps us reach this conclusion. What's the reason of Rashi that Rashi holds, not like the Gemara, but that the water was not hot? There's no necessity in Pshutish al-Mikra to add a miracle that the water was hot. According to Pshutish al-Mikra, like we said earlier in the Gemara about the different levels of the water, how did the Teva travel in different levels? We have the same question. How did the Teva survive in boiling water? As wonderful as the wood was, if you boil water, it's going to affect the Teva. So, in other words, first of all, b'chlal, there's no hechrich to make this ness. Not only is the ness that the water was hot, but the fact that the Teva would survive in hot water would be even a bigger ness. And based on what we said earlier in the Sikha, that we try not to be meisif a ness unless there's no hechrich, therefore Rashi says, I don't want to be meisif another ness here, that the water was hot. And therefore Rashi does not follow the Shita Sagimara, because A, that would be, I have to add another ness, and then I have to add a triple ness, that the Teva could survive in Mayim Reishchin. And therefore Rashi has a different pshat, that Vayosheku Amayim means that the water was, that the surging of the water calmed, and not that the heat of the water cooled off. And this also answers a question which is discussed in the Mefarshim and in Ara 44, how did Oig survive the hot water? And there's other explanations, but according to this, it's not a question because the water wasn't hot. So very quickly, we started out asking a question. Where did the Yoina get the Alei Zayis from? We tried to suggest that it's from, the Medrash says it was from Eretz Yisrael or from the Gan Eden. We said that wouldn't work with traditional Mikra because A, it wouldn't have helped Yoina. It wouldn't have helped Yoina know anything from if there was no Mabul there, then what does it help Yoina? Besides, where would he even get it from? And besides, number two, according to Pshutish al-Mikra, the Mabul clearly did end up in Eretz Yisrael, because why would there be a nest that we don't know about, that Pasuk doesn't tell us about, and why would the Teva park on Hari Ararat and not in Eretz Yisrael if there was no Mabul there? So to answer the question of where did Alei Zayis come from, we asked the question, how did Noach know that Kalu Amayim, and why Davka Alei Zayis? And we explained that the Zaysim trees survived the Mabul, and therefore, after the Mabul finished, they were able to start growing leaves right away, and that's how Noach knew that enough time passed, that Kalu Amayim Ala Aretz, and that's why it has to be an Alei Zayis, because only they are strong enough to survive the Mabul. And that's why it says, Taraf Chataf, that's in Rashi Taitz's Chataf, and had to grab it strongly because it was a fresh leaf that had just grown, and it was coming off of a very strong tree. And that's how we know, even according to Pshutish al-Mikra, that we're talking about something that grew after the Mabul, and that the tree is very strong. And then in the last Ois, we also explained that Vayasheku Amoyim means not that the water was hot, but that the water calmed down. And after such a beautiful, beautiful understanding and dissection of the psukim, and understanding it now so beautifully, we cannot end without a Yena Shel Teira. So we have Oy Zayin Meyena Shel Teira Shebinyan Anal, the Yena Shel Teira on this inyan. His bar b'Teira Er is explained in Teira Er. B'tam lama nikra amabul b'novi mei noyach. Why is the Mabul called the water of Noach? Avshin Yoni Shel Noach Haya Atzalam in Amabul v'afocha, even though Noach's role was to save the people from the Mabul, and the opposite of the Mabul. Lefi, so the Torah explains Shubchinas Mayim, because the Mabul was the idea of water, which purifies those that are tamei. Shukadugmas amikveh mem sa shimataires as a tamei, similar to a mikveh that's made up of 40 sa that's matar the tamei. And therefore the Mabul came to purify the world, and it went for 40 days and 40 nights, connected the Memsah. And therefore it's called the waters of Noach, because Noach means a nachas ruach or a naicha derucha, and from this Tara that came about from the Mabul, it caused a naicha derucha to the Eibishter. The Gam, in Yonishal Neach HaYolahakim HaSeilem Echadosh Neach's role was to reestablish the world, both in Tov V'Tayr, in a good and Tayr way, which is similar to the Mabel, which was purifying the world. So therefore, the reason why the Mabel is called Mei Neach is A, because the Tayr brought Neicha Derucha, it brought a peace to Hashem, a Nachas Ruach to Hashem, and also because Neach was reestablishing the world in a better way. And according to the rule that every descent, every step back is for the purpose of a greater ascent, it's clear, it's understood that the war, that the world was not just purified from its previous state of Tumah, and it was restored to its original state. Rather, a new Tara was given because of the Mabul. The Gamzem Otsinu Dugmosi B'Tara B'Mikveh, which we find this parallel in Mikveh as well. Shalapa'omim Einzirak Tara Me'atumah Kim Yeshbos Agam Inyan Shal Teisvus Ktusha V'Tara. When a person goes to the Mikveh, it doesn't just purify the person from the past Tumah, but it lifts him up to a higher level of Tumah, of Tara. Al Pisa move on Yisrael Amayla Bazesh Sha'emim Shal Pipsudah Shal Mikveh Yara the Mabul Gamber Et Yisrael. So if the uftu of the Mabul was that it added a Tara Yaseira to the world, so based on this we can understand what how special it is, according to those who say that the Mabul fell even in Eretz Yisrael. Galdesha Yara Shama Mabul Nimshecha Teisvus Kedusha V'Tara Gam L'Eretz Yisrael. An extra Kedusha and Tara was added to Eretz Yisrael Be'erech Dargosa HaKedemes in comparison to its previous level. So not only the whole world received the extra Tara, but if you say that the Mabul took place in Eretz Yisrael, then also Eretz Yisrael received an extra Tara, and that's one of the beautiful things about saying that the Mabul did fall in Eretz Yisrael, that after the Mabul fell, a new Tara and a new Kedusha was given to Eretz Yisrael.